Let me pray. God, I thank you that you are a good father and that you are seeking us. God, help us all in this room today to open up to you. I pray you would speak through Bob and I and the other men that are going to join us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're glad you're here today. It's good to see you, and happy Father's Day. Amen. There you go. Very nice. Just a little disclaimer. On Mother's Day, we don't only emphasize mothers because we know that can be a happy day and a sad day. That's the same thing with Father's Day. So we have some men who are going to be speaking, but our message is going to be aimed at all of us. So you'll be hearing that. And also, Adam, I'm getting a lot of monitor here. Also, I just want to emphasize the reason why Jake and I don't do this. You have the Jake Sunday and the Bob Sunday, or you have the Jake and Bob Sunday. The reason why you have a team, as Jake said earlier, you all are the superstars. You are the ones that we're coaching to do the work of ministry. And so we'll hear three guys who will join us because you all are the ones who literally do the work of ministry. We coach you. We do some too, but we'd like to coach you in that. Okay? So we have a verse we're going to look at, and we'll keep going back and forth to it. It's one of Jake's favorite, mine, and the fellows who will be joining us. In 2 Timothy, it says, the Spirit God gave us. Let's not miss that. The Spirit of God that was brooding over the face of this earth at creation, that was active, the active agent of God in creation, lives in who? Us. People, human beings. That is amazing, all right? Now, we have a problem, and that is we don't let the Spirit rule us like he'd like to. And we sort of suffer through life because of that. But when the Spirit of God lives in us, he doesn't make us timid. What's the other word for that that you...
Fear. So I learned this fear. As a youth, and yeah.
So when the Spirit of God's in us, we don't have a spirit of fear or timidity, but what do we have? He have power, love, and self-discipline. So what we're doing today is we're going to ask some fellows to speak to this. What do you do to cooperate with God so that God can take you out of fear or timidity or whatever else you're in, and instead he can replace it with his love, with his power, and with self-discipline? So, Jake, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so... this is a verse I learned as a young adult. In the first service, I talked about how God graciously just gave me victory over sin when I was just a boy. And sometimes God will do that in our lives. We come to Jesus, we start following Jesus, and we just become a different person overnight. And it's just a gift from God. And sometimes God gives us that gift. Today, if you're in the second service or if you're in both, you get to hear a little different story this time. So this verse, when I look at it, God doesn't make us timid. He doesn't make us fearful. But he gives us power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. And for me, I think a lot of times I work through those last three words in kind of reverse order. It seems like when God's working in my life, typically God starts by working on my self-control or my self-discipline. And then that opens the door for me to be loving. And then when I'm loving, it seems like God's power starts to change people. So one example of this, just to be fairly quick because I want to give plenty of time to other guys we're going to be talking to today, but, you know, when I was a little bit younger, not that much younger, you know, I struggled with lust, and God had to work with me, and that wasn't just an overnight cure. God had to work with me over years to help me be able to control my own eyes. But he gave me that gift of control before Chrissy and I, my wife, got together, before we first started dating. And I can remember right after our first date, I was praying to God, and I was nervous about dating Chrissy because our first date went really well. And I thought, like, I don't know if I'm really ready to be in a super serious relationship because I was fearful I was going to still struggle with lust. I'd only been free of it for just a short time. And I remember God's eagerness that he had been waiting for the two of us to get together till I was... so I did have self-control in that area. And God gave me this huge boost of confidence that he had faith in me that I could stay pure in that. So when you have self-control, then you're able to give love fully to somebody else. So, for instance, with my eyes, like because God gave me and worked through that self-control of my eyes, then I can give my eyes fully to Chrissy and not to everyone. And God's power, I think, works through us when we've got that sort of love for other people. When we've been able to say no to ourselves, and so then we genuinely care about the people around us and we can love them in a healthy way, God gets really powerful in those moments. God starts to overflow in those moments to other people. So Bob's big question for us today is, how do you unlock God's power in your life? For me, I've seen that when I let God work on me to change me, then God always gives me the tools to love other people. And when I start loving other people the right way, God starts changing me, starts changing other people around me.
We have said around here a few times, real talk alert. You just had some of that right here. All right. Thank you, Jake. And he is open to God and the Spirit of God. Let's not miss that. The Spirit of God, if you're a believer, I told that to Amanda a few minutes ago before she was baptized, took out the old heart, put the new Spirit of God in her. That's true for us. All right. So the Spirit of God lives in us, and he gives us power. He gives us self-control. Dan Steiner, why don't you come up here? Dan is the best dressed of all of our men on the platform. Thank you, sir. So Dan, I asked him, how do you cooperate with God so that God can work in your life and give to you his abundance? So why don't you talk about that for us?
I think it first started when I got out of treatment. You know, there were some just suggestions, and one of them was to get grounded, you know, and get a good foundation. And I think Jake probably remembers it well. I got out of treatment, and I just showed up here on Wednesday night as soon as I got out, and I thought it was the purpose-driven life class because I knew I wanted some purpose in my life. And it wasn't that class, but I found out it was on Sundays. But I just showed up, and I was in the fourth floor, and I was like, hey, I'm supposed to be trying to find this class. And he's like, well, welcome. And, you know, from that moment forward, you know, I'd always longed for a family. I don't know about anybody else, but that's one of the things that I always wanted was this tight-knit family. When I came that Wednesday night and I was – I wanted to be a part of something. They welcomed me. And through sitting there and finding out what was going on, they were setting goals. You know, and I don't know about anybody else, but it's very rare for me in a daily life. You know, we get real so busy to set goals for myself. And so I just, I knew that I didn't want to go backwards. My son, you know, one of the things he'd said to me was, what kind of role model are you? You know, and that hurt. You know, it still has pain in it. And so for me, as a father, I'm my desire today is to be the best dad I can be. And the only way to do that is through God's love and to get into the Bible and learn how to do that. Because I being a drug addict like I was, I only knew one way to parent, and that was to get high to not deal with you and yell at you the minute or spank you the minute you were interrupting with me getting high. And, you know, neglect. And, you know, I said to somebody one time, I've never stole anything. And they said, well, you steal time away from your son all the time. So you're a bigger thief than any of them. And so I just knew I wanted something different, man. When I came here and I felt that family and I allowed God to come into my life, he convicted me that I wanted more.
Yeah, and there's, you know, our small group on Wednesday night, we got a lot of guys in there. But honestly, not a lot of the guys, not every one of the guys anyways, is doing what I've seen Dan do these last 9 months or so. Dan will come in there each week, and he's read the Bible, but he's also starting to do stuff that he reads in the Bible, and it hasn't all been easy. I know you've had some challenging things you've had to put into practice.
Now, you know, one of the first things that I struggled with is I was in a relationship when I was in drug addiction, and I came into church, and one of the things they said was don't date for a year. And my son came to me and said, Dad, I don't like her. And in the past, I would have said, I don't really care what you think. I'm going to have her for me, you know. And so I had to start really praying about it. And And the more I prayed about it, the more God revealed, this isn't who I have for you, you know, but you got to be obedient. And so I had to walk away from this relationship. And it's not easy to walk away from somebody that, you know, especially as we continue to get, at least for me, as I continue to get older, I get less self-confidence that it's okay for me just to go out and pick up on girls. I mean, it's just not that simple. So the first person that liked me, I thought I would be attracted to. And through God's me being obedient to God, he showed me that he'd give me the strength and the power and the ability to walk away from this and not just keep holding on to it. And it was hard, and I did it, but I did it, and I also did it not only for myself, but I did it because, you know, I've drugged my son through some really horrible relationships with people that didn't care about him, and I didn't care whether they did or not. I was only worried about me, and so that selfish desire really left me when I allowed God to come in to my life. It taught me how to love differently, and you know, that's only through obedience can I get that, and that's the thing, and you know, by that obedience, and then coming here each week and reading before, because it took me 6 months. Don't get me wrong. When I was coming to class every week, you know, I would show up and I hadn't read, and as I continued to keep coming, that conviction kept coming over me. Like, man, you want to be a part of something. Your mouth's saying one thing, but your feet is doing another, and that's not okay for me today. I want my mouth and my feet to do the same thing. When I say I'm doing something, I want you to be able to see that Dan's doing something, you know. And so I, you know, and I think the biggest thing was when God gave me that conviction, like, hey, I want you to do more. And so I called Jake and I was like, hey, I need to do more. And I always like to see him come up and get the offering, so I was like, I want to do the offering or something, you know. And he goes, okay, we'll put you on door greeting. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. That's what I was thinking. But you know, through all the messages you hear each week, you know, Bryce's message a few weeks ago about saying yes, you know, that's a huge message, man. I mean, that's what I've been saying to God since I got here was yes. No matter what situation arises, it's yes. You know, just and about the part about being a family, you know, somebody asked me the other day, are you going to go to Project Shine? And, you know, being a part of a family, I didn't know we had choices. You know, that was the big thing. You know, I mean, when you have a family get together, the street cleanup, all these things, I thought that's what we're supposed to do. And so, you know, I'm committed to everything that goes on at this church now, and my son doesn't have a choice. So,
we'll get back to your son here in just a second. But I didn't want you guys to miss. I think there's a lot of great stuff that Dan just shared. I don't want you to miss. One of the first things he shared, though, I think opened up all these other great steps. He had this relationship that he had a lot of selfish reasons to be in and a lot of fear to get out of. And his son came to him, and he was humble enough to listen to his son and then trusted God enough to pray about what should I do, and then had the courage to do what he needed to do. And there was some talk in our group, and we were holding him accountable through it. But that's big. Most people don't do that sort of thing. They don't say, I'm going to change who I'm with and do something I'm scared of and maybe experience some loneliness because that's the thing God wants me to do. And when you start following God that sort of way, God starts doing powerful things in your life, like this. Dan, this is your son right here, Philman, if you want to, also super well-dressed, just like Dan. And he's also greeting at the East Doors with Dan, so if you come early, you can see them. And do you mind telling us a little bit about this morning, about the card that he gave you? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Sorry to put him out.
Well, I mean, I think it's every father's dream is to be, you know, that great parent, you know. And through all my failures, you know, it's really hard to see, look in the mirror, and forgive myself sometimes as a parent. Like, man, you know, I'm a disappointment. But why did you even pick that? I mean, you picked that so I would get emotionally and cry.
Sorry.
Over this?
No, that's not. It's really
but
good.
I got a card today that said, best dad ever. And you know, and I think that's just, I think that's what every dad, every kid, I mean, because, you know, my mom, she doesn't realize it. Just a few weeks ago, she said to me for the first time in probably my whole life that she was proud of me. And, you know, as a man, I I continue to seek the approval of her, and only through my relationship with Christ am I able to break that. Because we did the purpose-driven life, and they talked about how you can seek the approval of a parent, and you may never get it. You know, and if I hadn't shown up to that class and read that book and been a part of that group, I'd still be seeking her approval, even though when I take risks that she would never think about. You know, and I have to know that when I, in the Lord, with the Lord inside me, that I can do all things, and I don't have to have her approval, because guess what? He's already pointing me in that direction, you know, and leading me there. So it's got to be right if he's telling me to do it, you know. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm just, you know, in this walk, everything that I'm trying to do is, I'm not trying to be mediocre today. I'm trying to strive towards excellence. And the only way to do that is showing up here, and because you can't grow if you don't go, you know. And I would really recommend getting involved on our Wednesday night, because I've never in my life set goals and you know, as far as even obtainable goals. I may have said I'm going to go get me a new car, or, you know, things that were materialistic. But one of the goals I've set was to do something with my son twice a week. You wouldn't think as a parent that you should make that as a goal, but I'm sorry, but for me, I get so busy working that I forget about balance in my life. I forget about being a good father, a good son, you know, a good person in the community, not only a fan, but of the church, but a member and on a teammate that gets in here and gets to work, you know. And it takes balance to do that. And the only way to do that is sacrifice, man. I'm telling you. And you have to put this first.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank
so
you,
much.
Thank you, Dan.
Wow. All right. Yay. Wonderful. So Max Ross is somewhere back there. I see him coming. And Max is, along with his dad, down at the world-famous Frickin' Frack. Max has done a whole lot of our internet work around here. He's a huge help. He is a lot more comfortable with a computer than he is with a microphone. You're also a DJ, but apparently this is different from that.
Yeah, I don't have to talk on a microphone when I play music. So
there you go. So, Max, here's the scripture. The Spirit of God, God gave you his Spirit. And he doesn't put you in fear, and he doesn't make you timid, but he gives you power, he gives you love, gives you self-control. He also has given you the abundant life. How do you cooperate with him? What do you do to cooperate with the Lord?
Well, like I said earlier today, that when he asked me to do this, I didn't know what the scripture was going to be, and I just had these three words pop into my head, and those words were thankfulness, obedience, and servanthood. And those are just kind of the three states that I just try to stay in at all times.
All right, say those again, because what's really interesting is we can forget them quickly. Say them again.
Thankfulness, obedience, and servanthood.
All right. You can't lose with that, can you?
No, not at all.
No. And so I'm one of their regular customers, and I see how they treat their employees wonderfully, how they treat their customers well, how they have the gift of hospitality, how they do lots of things. This is Max and Rudy, but how they really reach out to people. And so those words are real in your life, aren't they?
For sure. I mean, every day in the hard times, you know, you're thankful that you even have any times at all. You know, like when it's really hard at work, and I'm like, man, I don't really want to work this hard right now. And I'm just like, well, I guess I'm thankful that I have a job and that I have success at it.
Tell us how you pray throughout the day, because I think that's important. That's another piece of this package. How does that happen in your life, Max?
Well, you know, my prayer life isn't just like I'm going to stop and be silent and, you know, take a minute, and then at the end I say amen. Basically, anytime something good happens in my life, I'm just, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's a continual conversation.
So you can run a restaurant and pray at the same time?
That's right.
That's right. Probably there are days that anybody who works in food service, you know you need to be praying, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you have a beautiful little girl back there. You have a couple of them. One of them's not here today. And a lovely wife. How does your life with the Lord enhance that?
Well, that's kind of the servanthood part, you know. It's just not putting yourself before others. Just, you know, their needs are greater than yours. And, you know, it's a, whenever I talk to people about relationships, I'm like, well, you know, it's real work. because you have to, you don't go home from it. You have to do it every day, and their needs come before yours, and that leads to happiness, and it's something that I'm thankful to even be able to do, you know.
That is so nice. Thank you so much. We appreciate that, Max. And so Brian English is headed up this way. There you are. Brian will first talk about his son and his wife. We just know that's, I mean, go ahead and do that, Brian.
I just want to thank Jesus for my wife and my baby.
There you go. Amen. Thank you. And so here's a verse. We keep saying this because we need to hear it. God has put his spirit in us. We are not naturally good folks. Max is not naturally who he is. Dan is not naturally who he is. Jake and Brian and me and you, we are not naturally good people. We're naturally a bunch of bums, okay? But God puts his spirit in us, and he changes us, and he makes us new, all right? And what does he do with us? Well, he gives us some power, he gives us love, he gives us self-discipline. How do you cooperate with God? How do you live your life so that he can do that more than maybe not?
Well, first off, I'm still a bum a lot of the time. You know, I'm no different than all of you. I still have a lot of faults, but I said this stuff earlier today, and I was thinking about it at Sunday school, and I think the biggest thing I do that connects me with God is I give credit where credit's due. I know that apart from God, I'm a junkie, loser, criminal that no one wants to be around, especially my wife would have never talked to me. Most of you people would have never talked. Well, some of you would have. I knew you. But but the difference is that for all my faults, that I know everything I have is from God. And every time someone says something about my wife, my baby, anything I have, Jesus, you know, and Jesus appreciates that because in the end, it's all about me knowing that I'm not God and he is, and that without him, I'm nothing.
Amen. Amen. You got it. So tell us how you stay connected with God, because the deal is you don't just walk in Maywood and walk out. All right. You walk in Maywood and you meet Jesus. And if you meet Jesus,
Amen.
And you live with him, he gives you the life we're talking about. Is that right?
That's right.
So how do you meet with him daily?
Well, I wake up and the first thing I say is, thank you, Jesus, for my wife and my baby. Well, anymore, it's baby and wife, but I don't tell her that. And I read my Bible, or I go run and listen to my Bible, and I just do a lot of praying, you know, and I do. A lot of people say don't pray for yourself. Man, I need to pray for myself. I'm a mess, you know. I pray a lot. And throughout the day, like Max was saying, I pray a lot throughout the day, too, because I'm always doing stupid stuff that the Lord don't like, so I'm sorry, you know. I'm sorry, Lord. And but whenever I see something like a beautiful sunset or something nice happens, I give credit where credit's due. God, that's awesome. Thank you, you know. And whenever something, I start to feel sorry for myself, I catch myself and I'm like, Lord, I don't deserve none of this good stuff. Thank you again, you know. You know, I don't have a lot of luck with the meditating, which I try to do. But, I mean, most of the time, my relationship with God is just a conversation, you know. I talk a lot, so I talk more than I listen, but at least I'm talking.
There you go. Amen. Thank you, Brian. God bless you. We're gonna have to have a return appearance of these fellows because they all have something to say that's way more than we gave you all time for. Sorry about that, fellas. But let me just tell my story really quick. All right. So this is a huge verse. Go back one, please. The spirit that God gave me. God put his spirit in human beings. That is huge. If you're missing that, you need to get in touch with that, okay? God put his spirit in you. So we don't have to be fearful or timid, but we have his power. And Jake and all of us gave really great pictures of that. We have his love. He makes us loving. We have self-discipline. He gives it to us. But how does that happen? Let's go to that verse now. This is a life verse for me. I have it memorized, but I have to live it out. Let's read. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. So I'm a branch, he's the vine. He is deep into the soil of God's power and love and self-discipline and life and all the things that we all need. And I'm just a branch out there. Now he says to me, as a branch, If I stay connected to Him, if I stay with Him, I'm going to produce fruit. What's fruit? Fruit means I do like Jake talked about, or I do like these other fellows talk about. I produce that fruit, all right? But if I'm disconnected with Him, I'm on my own, and I can't do anything. This morning, I got up, and I had a prayer time, and it was a quick one because we were coming up here, and I didn't get up early enough, but I had a quick one. It would be like taking a deep breath. But that didn't last long, did it? How many of you all got up this morning and breathed? I'm trusting all of you. How many of you all got up this morning and took one deep breath and said, this is it for the day, I get no more? That's how some of us do our prayer lives. This is how some of us live our spiritual lives. We take one deep breath and we think that's going to last us all day. Just like Max and Brian and Dan talked about, it's a continual conversation with God. That's spiritual breathing. I so recommend it. We have to stay in touch with Him or we're not going to bear fruit. There's another aspect, I'm going to say it very quickly, and then we're going to ask you to respond. I have a really good spirit with me in the mornings. God and I, boy, we're going. But as I walk through the day, it's like walking through a muddy field. And I just pick up more mud on my shoes, my spiritual shoes, and they get loaded down. And towards the evening, I'm not a good guy, all right? And you can ask my wife, wherever she is. She's in the nursery, I think. You can ask her, and she'll testify to that, all right? And so I need something to end my day. I've got to clean the mud off my shoes, off my heart. And so I've started doing this, and I would recommend you do something like this. Johnny Laura and I do this together. We send each other texts. He'll send me one, say, I'm walking. I'll send him one, I'm going walking. I take a walk. And while I walk, I talk to the Lord about my day. And then I ask Him to talk to me about what He thinks about my day and my life. I end my day talking with Him, connecting with Him. And then most of the time I go back in the house and I finish up by reading the Bible, take a shower, obviously, and head off to bed. I recommend to you what we've been talking about because it is the source of power, love, and self-control. And that is all the different ways we've talked about it, getting connected with God, staying connected with God, realizing we can't live life apart from Him. The life He wants us to live is in a relationship with Him. And so let's do it. The worship team's going to come on up. Jake's going to pray for us. We'll have a bunch of people who'd like to pray with you this morning. And let's connect with God and say, God, you know, this day I want to start living life like it's an abundant life. Okay, Jake, why don't you lead some prayer?
Yeah, we've got a few minutes here in this time we're going to give to You. God, I pray You would put a spotlight in our minds and in our hearts on the one thing You want us to take away, the one thing You want us to respond to today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.